This week, I heard a really good episode of a great podcast. The podcast is called The Lydia Project. You can search for that on the internet. It's made by a couple of ladies from Mitchelton Presbyterian Church in Brisbane, and it's part of the Gospel Coalition Australia. In this episode, they were interviewing a mother and a daughter. And at the start of the episode, they played a get-to-know-you game. They played the game where they asked each of them what the other person's favourite or least favourite things is. Things like, what's your mum's favourite colour? Or what's your daughter's pet hate? Or what's her favourite movie? And it was quite cute as you listen to the episode, because they didn't really do all that well. They sometimes took quite a few guesses to work it out, or they might have got the general vibe, but they couldn't answer specifically. And I think my favourite moment was when the daughter said, well, I actually told you this morning, and mum, you obviously don't even listen to me. So as you listened to this part of the interview, you wondered whether this mother and daughter knew each other very well at all. And at the moment, you might be feeling a little bit like this. We might wonder if anyone knows us at all, whether anyone knows what we're going through. It's easy to feel this way when we're alone. It's actually also very easy to feel like this when you're in a crowd. Often we feel most lonely when there's lots of people around, but we feel like we don't even matter. We're lost in the crowd. Well, today we're looking at Psalm 139. It's a beautiful psalm. It's well known. It's highly appropriate for Mother's Day. And I'd like to say that's why I chose it, but I have to admit, I've got to give God credit for his timing in that. I had no idea when I picked this psalm for this Sunday that it would happen to be Mother's Day. This is a well-known psalm. Many of the verses of this psalm make their way onto coffee cups and Instagram posts. And if you go to our Facebook page after this, you'll see some beautiful images I got from the Faith Life Corporation where they'd taken some of the words of this psalm and put some beautiful pictures behind it. It's lovely that this psalm is so quotable. But unfortunately, because of this, it's often misunderstood and misapplied, which is why we've started today by praying God for God to be working both in our heads and in our hearts as we listen to this part of his word. This psalm is about God. It tells us some amazing truths about God. And the first truth, the truth of the first six verses, is that God knows everything. God knows everything. Have a listen from verse 1. This is Psalm 139 and starting at verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God knows everything. And now this psalm could have taught us this truth by saying, God knows how many galaxies and stars there are out in space. It could have said that God knows the inner workings of quantum physics. Or he knows the name of every single hue of every single colour, and that would be true. God knows everything. But that's not what this psalm says. It says, God knows David. He knows what David is doing. He knows what David is thinking. He knows where David is going, and he knows what David is going to say before he even says it. It's true, God knows everything, but the point of this psalm is that God knows everything about you. And this is mind-blowing. Verse 5, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. I think it's true to say that we want to be known. We want to have a relationship with people where they know our likes and our dislikes, a place where we can be open and honest, and be the real me. And for some of us, this time of shutdown, this time of isolation has been really difficult for this reason. the people we normally hang around with who know us, even if they only know us a little, well, we can't see them. And maybe you've wanted to reach out to pick up the phone and connect and make a call, but you've been anxious. Maybe they don't really want to know you. But this psalm tells us God knows you. He knows the real you. And the reason he knows you and knows everything is because God is everywhere. And that's what we see in verses 7 to 12. God is everywhere. It starts off with a question, but the feeling behind this question, it's a little ambiguous. Does David ask this question because he wants to get away from God, or because once again he's blown away by the truth that God is everywhere? Have a listen to verse 7 and think about that. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And so what do you reckon? Is David like Jonah, wanting to run away from God, or is he comforted knowing God is always with him? Because the truth is, God is everywhere. There's nowhere you can go when God is not there. Verse 8. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Up, down, east, west, day, night, light, dark, God is everywhere. Though the question is, with God knowing everything, even our thoughts and our words before they're said, and with God being everywhere, even in the depth and in the darkness, is this good news? I'm going to play a video now. It's a video from a debate between two brothers, Christopher Hitchens and Peter Hitchens. Christopher Hitchens, I think he's passed away now. He was one of the leading figures of what people call New Atheism. He didn't have quite the celebrity of Richard Dawkins, but he was much, much more articulate. His brother Peter is a Christian believer. So family get-togethers, Mother's Day, when they all got together, it would have been quite fun. I'm just going to play 1 minute from this debate, and this is Christopher speaking. He's got a way with words, doesn't he? He's got quite a way with words. Surveillance you can't escape. A celestial North Korea. Who would want this to be true? At the moment, people are debating the COVID Safe app from the government. You know, the phone software which is meant to help with contact tracing. Some people are concerned about the government following you around in your pocket, knowing where you've been and who you've been with. But God's knowledge and presence is vastly bigger than this. Maybe Hitchens is right. But the thing Hitchens fails to comprehend is actually the truth of Psalm 139. David isn't wanting to flee like Jonah. In this psalm, he's completely comforted. He celebrates that God knows everything and is everywhere because David knows and David has experienced that God is good and that God is love. He's not a celestial North Korea. He is the loving and good God. And we see this so beautifully put in the next section, verses 13 to 18, where God's incredible power is described. Now, when this psalm talks about God's power, it doesn't say God could play lawn bowls with the planets, which God could do, but that's not how God chooses to show his power. God's power to do anything he wishes is shown in the way he lovingly and caringly creates you. Verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The beauty of this psalm is that it takes the big truths about God and makes them deeply personal. I sometimes get a bit confused by people who hand make things. It doesn't make economic sense. Why hand knit a beanie, spending hour upon hour at the needles, when you could just pop down to the shops and get a perfectly good one for $10? Why go to your shed and spend months and months in the heat with planes and lathes making a coffee table when you can go get one for $200 at the shops? It doesn't add up. It is bad economics. But when you've been given something that's handmade, it's not about accounting. It's about love. God knits us together. We're handmade. It's because of love. And in his love, God has planned out our days. God knows you before your mum does. Before your mum could feel your kicks, before she felt morning sick, God knew you. And he's written out all your days. This is not a celestial North Korea. This is our loving Heavenly Father. Now, two brief reflections at this point of the psalm. It's this truth where people get things dangerously wrong with this psalm. Some people read, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and they think, well, this is incredible. I'm so wonderful. Or they read, God knows me, and they think, I'm so significant. God wants to know me. They read this psalm and they use it to puff themselves up with importance. Instead of seeing the point of the psalm is how amazing God is. I'm so insignificant, yet he is so big that he even knows and sees me. And what does a microscope do? It makes small things look big. It would be a mistake to read this psalm like a microscope, to make us the big thing. No, this psalm is like a wide-angle lens. Photographers use wide-angle lenses when they go out into the world and want to capture a big vision onto the screen. And they want to capture as much of the view as possible. This is what this psalm is doing. It's giving us a wide-angle view of God so we can see him as big and as glorious as he is. So that's the first reflection. If you read this psalm and you think, gee, I'm amazing, you have missed the point. The point is God. God knows everything. God is everywhere. God is all-powerful. The second reflection is, this psalm teaches that every person is precious. We're precious because we're known and made by an amazing God. And when I say we and every, I do mean every. It's not just the rich and powerful who are precious. It's not just the strong and beautiful who are precious. No, everyone is. The weak, the frail, people who are not yet born, people who have a terminal illness, people who have a disability, the refugee, the homeless person. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made. We are all precious because we are made by an amazing God and we are known by Him. And this is a deeply practical truth. Loads of important Christian ethics flow from this truth. This is why Christians should work to protect the unborn and the elderly. It's why Christians should advocate for inclusion of people with disabilities. It's why we should welcome and provide for homeless people and refugees. Unfortunately, I had to use the word should there, though, didn't I? Because often Christians have failed to do this. We don't have a good track record in many of these areas. But that's not God's fault. It's our fault for not living His ways and not living out this truth of Psalm 139. Which leads us to the final section of this psalm. This psalm has told us three big truths about God. God knows everything. God is everywhere. God is in control of everything. And all these truths aren't just big ideas, but they're deeply personal. The final section of the psalm applies these truths. And the first way it applies it is quite confronting. It says when you are known and loved by God, it shapes you so you love what He loves and you hate what He hates. Verse 19, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in a rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. These verses, they feel quite out of place in a psalm that's so incredibly beautiful and comforting. I told Lily this when she offered to do that part of the Bible reading. She was going to read the hardest part of the psalm. You might be wondering how hating God's enemies and even praying God would destroy them, how does that fit with what I just said about every person being precious to God? Well, part of the reason these verses are in this psalm is because when we see the goodness of God, it also shows how ugly sin is. If God was the evil tyrant that Christopher Hitchens imagines, then sin would be fighting for freedom. Sin would be good. But if God loves us to the point of making us by hand, and yet we rebel against this good God, it shows us how dark and ugly our sin is. And in Jesus, this truth blows our minds even more. Because it's here where we see the bright goodness of God, even dark is light before Him. Well, it shows us how much more our sin is dark, and it shows even more that what Jesus has done on the cross is just incredible, isn't it? I'm going to put up on the slides here from Romans chapter 5, which says, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. Jesus died to make His enemies friends. Jesus died to declare the wicked righteous. Jesus died to make those who speak evil against God into those who praise His name. Why does this psalm end this way? Because you can't help but see how bad sin is and hate it when you see how good God is. And so because of Jesus, we can pray the final two verses with even more confidence than David. So have a look there, Psalm 139 and verse 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the ways everlasting. When you read the story of David's life in Samuel and Chronicles, there's plenty of offensive ways in him. When I first read these verses here in Psalm 139, I thought David was being a bit presumptuous, that he was claiming to be without sin. No, in fact, what these verses are doing, it's the opposite. He knows when he's tested by God, there will be offensive things found in him, which is why he prays to be led by God. He seeks to be changed by God. Because that's what happens when we're known by God. He changes us. In the episode of the Lydia Project I was listening to, the mother and daughter, they may not have done so well at knowing the favourite movies or the favourite colours and their pet hates. But as you listen to the rest of the interview, it shows actually how really knowing someone changes you, and really being known by someone changes you. The daughter shared one of her favourite memories of her mum from when she was younger. And the memory was of her mum's dedication to God's Word, reading it at the same time every day, writing out bits of the Bible to stick up on post-it notes around the house, reading it with other people. And what came out in this interview is how the daughter had become like her mum. She also loves God's Word. She also loves reading it by herself, and she loves reading it with other people. Knowing someone changes you. It's the same with God. Knowing, but even more, being known by God changes us. Changes us so we hate what he hates and we love what he loves. As we draw this part of our time together to a close, I'm going to pray. And we're going to thank God that he knows us. That if we're trusting in Jesus, we're not alone. We're known by God. And we're going to ask God to change us through knowing him. So please join with me as we pray. Father God, you are such a big God. Your knowledge is inexhaustible. There is nowhere you are not. You can do all things, and it is such good news that in your love you are not a distance or mechanistic God, but you are the God who knows us personally. Please help us get a glimpse of what this means and to be awed by you. Please help us to not have a microscopic vision that makes us big, but help us see you through a wide-angle lens that we might be captivated by who you are. And as we reflect on your goodness and glory, we realize we are not like this. When we see the light of your goodness and glory, we realize the darkness of our sin. And so we praise you that while we were sinners, while we were your enemies, Christ died for us. Please may we know you. Please search us and test us. Please see the offensive ways in us. Forgive us our sin for Jesus' sake and lead us in the ways of life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.